Hi, he's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Jason, the Bears have a schedule for 2025. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, the Bears have known since January who they were supposed to play this season. They didn't know the order. They didn't know the dates, and they didn't know what television station they would be on, or streamer, I guess. We know all of that now. What's the big takeaway from it?
It's a doozy, Pet.
I mean, I don't believe you, Jason.
You can just say it any year. They're just loaded with NFL opponents this year. Look at that.
Ask me what I think about the schedule real quick.
What do you think about the schedule?
Jason. Yeah, that's the answer over here.
Just okay. A grunt either way. No, there are actually some interesting things. The order matters so much, Pet, and it's different than last year in a really big way to me. One of the things I thought worked in the Bears' favor last season with rookie quarterback Caleb Williams coming in, and they did not capitalize on this at all, was that their schedule was so backloaded. It gave them such an opportunity for Caleb to find his way in those first nine or so games, mostly against teams that had been really bad the year before. Man, this is not like that. With Ben Johnson coming in for his first season, I mean, you start out with Vikings and Lions. Those teams won 29 combined games or something last year. I don't know if that's exactly right, but it's close to that. That's tough. At week two at Detroit is really early for that for Ben Johnson. The bye week is early for the Bears. It's week five, and they have a tough stretch in the middle of the season where they are starting at week six at Commanders. Then they come home and play the Saints. That's the relief, and then they go back to back weeks at Ravens, at Bengals. One more thing that is odd about this schedule. I don't know if it's going to be good or bad. And actually, this would be the first thing I'd like to ask you about. This is the latest that they will wait to play Green Bay for the first time in a season since 1998. They don't see the Packers until a week 14 trip to Lambeau. Then they turn around and face them again 2 weeks later at Soldier Field. The week in 1998, they played Green Bay in weeks 15 and 17. So this is pretty close to that with it being weeks 14 and 16.
I think that's a good thing for the Bears. I think that the Packers are probably more ready-made to start the season good than a team with a new head coach, a new play caller, and a quarterback entering their second season. So I'm not sure that's a bad thing. Jason, I'm just thrilled that they're playing the Packers in two games that are going to matter. You know, we've been in this routine lately where Bears-Packers in week 18 doesn't really mean anything. We know it doesn't mean anything for the Bears. 2 years ago, the Packers needed to win to make the playoffs. But boy, I'm just happy to have real stakes. And if the Bears hold up their end of the bargain here, you know, a game on December 20th is actually going to have, you know, real stakes. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we've said this before, but you know, if the Bears are still alive and playing for a playoff spot, that's going to be a really good game.
Everyone I know wants that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Bears fans want that. You know, the national TV audience that gets force-fed Bears games all the time wants that. But, Pat, even Packer fans that I know want those games to be meaningful for both sides and that rivalry to be better. It will be better. It will be much more interesting, more compelling TV if both teams have something on the line in that one. What did you think about the, I say primetime, and I think primetime is such an outdated term, but the standalone games that the Bears got, opening as part of the league's, I'm going to use the word right now, primetime package for week one. Then they also have the Monday, they chose Bears Commanders, which is probably the best non-divisional game on their schedule. If you're picking a Bears game, and then also they got the Black Friday game, and also one of the Green Bay games will be a standalone game, the home game against Green Bay.
Yeah, and remember these, you know, they could get more as the season goes on. The NFL this offseason relaxed its rules in terms of how to flex games in and out at night on Thursday and Sunday. So, yeah, I mean, I think those are the ones I would have circled. There was part of me that was going to feel really bad if they had been put on Christmas Day in DC and that Bears fans would have to spend their Christmas mornings watching the Hail Mary land in the end zone over and over and over again. So for everybody's sanity, I'm glad that wasn't the case. yeah, these are big boy games. And, you know, the Bears get put in these big boy games even when they don't deserve it. And now I think you're seeing them, and I think you're seeing the Commanders too, judging by how many of these standalone games they got. They're being given the treatment of a team that's probably a little bit better than they are. And we'll see if they can do something with it. You know, I'm really, you know, I'm compelled by all of those games, but really, I mean, some of the noon games are pretty, or the regular, you know, old games, you know, you brought up going to Detroit. Boy, we haven't been to Detroit this early in the season ever that I can remember, yeah. At least the 13 years I've been here. That'll be fun. Yeah, there aren't a lot of dead spots in the schedule. You know, you did mention it though, that, you know, that period where it's, you know, Bengals, Ravens, you know, you end up with the Saints at some point. You know, it seems like those
Commanders,
are
all, it's Commanders, yeah. Saints, Ravens, Bengals, three yeah. road games out of four, and three road games that are tough.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Saints game is not, you know, what'll be interesting too. And you talked about the timing of the schedule, Jason, and I don't know whether the 49ers are going to be good or not. You know,
that was the game I omitted. That is also another standalone game for them. Week 17 at San Francisco on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah. And boy, if they're playing for something, you know, getting home at, you know, 3 a.m. To start week 18, boy, I'm not sure they'll be thrilled about that. But again, if the Niners thing can go one of two ways. And if it goes a bad way, maybe the Bears get flexed out of that game. You know, you just don't know.
That one does feel like it's written in pencil from a national mm-hmm. perspective. And both those teams were pretty bad last year, the 49ers and the Bears.
Well, we were there, Jason. We were there for the first game of the Thomas Brown era.
Down year for the 49ers, and they still hammered the Bears that day. Oh, my yeah, goodness. Yeah.
15 minutes in the game. Every
did Bears not get the new coach jump bump on that
no,
one.
No, not at all. Go ahead.
The reason that I kind of reacted at the beginning when we were talking about the schedule, Patrick, is, you know, there you always have the same thing happen. It's every year. And maybe you give yourself and people that follow the Bears fans, the benefit of the doubt that they have some grip on what the Bears should expect this year. Although last year, I mean, I was way off in what I thought they would be. Mm-hmm. And so were a lot of other people. But the other side of it is there are games on this schedule that look brutal right now, and they will not be. And yep. There are games on this schedule that look really, really easy, like the Giants at home. And you just never know by the time you get to that part of the season what either side is going to be like. There have been years where, you know, Houston was on the Bears schedule several years ago with Deshaun Watson when they were really going well. And man, did they have a horrible year that year and came into Soldier Field and got rocked 36-7 or something like that. Just last year, I mean, no one would have thought that Commanders team would have been what it was after picking second in the draft the year before. Nobody had the Vikings as any kind of challenge to anything. And they were playing for the number one seed at the end of the season. So this is, I hate to kind of ruin the parade for everybody. It is a little bit pointless to go through this now because we're sitting here talking about these tough stretches of games or these kind of lulls in the schedule, and it might be just the opposite by the time you get there.
Mark Potash, one of his favorite things ever was way back when, I think it was during the John Fox era, ESPN had each of their beat writers pick every game of the schedule at this time. And I think the way he had figured out was that the beat writer of the opposite team of the Bears all picked their own team. So the ESPN beat guys had decided that the Bears were going to go 0-16, I think at the time. Yeah. And the, you know, the lesson there is, you know, you just never know. And, you know, I think I can sit here and say, I think the Vikings are going to be good, but you know what? The Vikings have a rookie quarterback. I think the Lions are going to be good, but guess what? They have two coordinators who have never been coordinators save for one season for John Morton with the New York Jets. And then everybody got fired. You know, the Cowboys, God knows what the Cowboys are going to be. You know, they could win 8. They could win 13. Who knows? I mean, mm-hmm. And those are the more prominent good teams we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I think if we had to circle one or two games, like I'm pretty sure the Saints are going to suck. And I think that they're going to actively suck to try and end up with a Manning as their quarterback in the following year's draft. So maybe you can circle that one. otherwise, you know, I think most of these games can kind of go either way. And like you said, that's a real unsatisfying conclusion to come to, but it's the truth.
If I was going to pick a game on here, if you're looking at some of these teams that were bad last year that they're going to play, the one that I would circle as watch out for this one, it would be the Raiders, I think, in week four.
Okay.
If you're looking at the Raiders, the Browns, the Giants, the Saints, teams like that, who could be better than you think? Mm-hmm. The Raiders could be better than you think. And the Raiders made moves in this offseason like they were going to try to win now, even though that's clearly not where they were sitting roster-wise. But that is what they wanted to try to do, and I don't think Pete Carroll was taking any job that he was looking at as a long rebuild. So that could be an interesting one in week four. If I'm looking at a game where, you know, teams that were good last year but might not be so scary by the time the Bears face them, I'm going to fall for the same trap I fell for before and say probably the Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, this is kind of, you know, we talk about, you know, when you want to get these teams. I mean, you know, the Vikings might be, I mean, don't you want JJ McCarthy in week one instead of week eight? I do. I think that's a great place for the Bears to be. And, you know, you come around and you face them again in week 11, and I don't have their European schedule directly in front of me, but I believe it's after they do that doubleheader, on, you know, overseas. Lord knows what that'll do to them. You know, I think the Bears are in position to steal one or two. And like you said, we've thought that in the past and have been wrong, but, you know, JJ McCarthy got hurt in his only exhibition game as a pro. You know, what he's going to do in week one is no different than what Caleb Williams did probably last year at this time. And man, if you, you know, I just think that's a spectacular time to catch him.
Let's talk about some of the drama in the schedule, because there is plenty of it there. And you mentioned JJ McCarthy. So Caleb Williams and JJ McCarthy, that could be a long running rivalry in the NFC North. It's possible that all four NFC North teams have their quarterback for the next, you know, however many years Jared Goff has left, five years. You could have a lot of quarterback stability in the NFC North if JJ McCarthy is good and he's part of that draft class. Caleb Williams also going to face Jaden Daniels again from that draft class. Ben Johnson going back to Detroit. Matt Eberflus coming to Soldier Field in week three as defensive coordinator of the Cowboys. You don't get to just, Pat, I haven't said a joke yet. All I said was Matt Eberflus. You start laughing.
I was going to say,
setup is the punchline.
As you said, you've gotten through, I mean, you just listed, you know, what would be in a normal season the juiciest storyline of every schedule release. And there are three of them in the first three games. I mean, we're going to get all of the drama out of the way there. And, you know, it's Ben Johnson going to Detroit. It's not him, you know, standing here and looking across the field. It's, you know, all of those things are going to be major, major, like I said, storylines. And, you know, Eberflus coming back here. Oh, Jason, that'll be.
Well, I mean, that, there is such an opportunity for Ben Johnson in those first three games.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you have a national game against the Vikings to start your career at home at Soldier Field, but then going to Detroit, like you said, and then getting a chance to, I mean, if he lights up Matt Eberflus's defense at Soldier Field, that is an emphatic way to start things. And conversely, if Matt Eberflus's defense shuts down Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson and DJ Moore, that's going to be quite the drama in its own way.
Yeah.
You skip ahead, though, and obviously the Commanders, it's Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. That's going to be for the rest of their careers, and it's just all of the extra that comes with how that game really was pivotal for both teams last year. Pat, they never play the Ravens, ever, hardly. It's just weird to see a Bears-Ravens game going on the field or on TV. And that will be the first game for Roquan Smith against Ryan Poles' Bears since Poles rebuffed his contract demand of 5 years, $100 million and traded him away, which, by the way, as soon as he got there, Baltimore was like, yes, please. 5 years, $100 million. Sure. You want it in cash? Take it.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and, you know, for us, and obviously the people at home don't care too much about what you and I think. I'd like to think they care a little bit, but I really like those sorts of once every 6 year games that we get to go see. You know, I think I've been to Baltimore twice in my writing career, and what very low press box, right? If I remember correctly,
I've been there one time and I don't really remember it very well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the fact that we can talk about the Bears schedule and, you know, they're playing Lamar Jackson, who, depending on who you ask, is either, you know, the second or third best player in football, you know, and that's an afterthought because of all these great storylines. You have, you know, Joe Burrow coming to town, the Bears going to see Joe Burrow. That's, I mean, this is not short on star power, and it's not short, like you said, on drama. You also bring up the Eagles in week 13. All they are is the defending Super Bowl champion. And by that point, I think we'll have a sense of whether the Bears are contenders, pretenders, or rebuilding again. And, you know, if the Bears have a little bit of hope, boy, that is a fantastic test to measure yourself against not only maybe the best team, but for sure the best defense and defensive line in the sport. And, you know, by then, I think we should have a sense of whether the Bears offensive line is what they think it is or what it was last year.
Patrick, remind me, were you covering the team in 2011?
I was not.
That's too far back. So neither you nor I have ever covered the Bears beating the Eagles.
No, but one of my favorites, the wrong word, but one of the most remarkable Bears stories was in 2013 when they're playing the Eagles in the second to last game of the season. We are outside the Bears locker room before the game, believe it or not, getting ready to go talk to Phil Emery. And it's a night, the Bears are playing at night. So there's some game on, and I think it's the Packers or somebody lose, and the locker room erupts in cheers 2 hours before the game starts, because now all the Bears need to do is win one of their next two games. And the Bears are going to the playoffs, Jason, in Mark Trestman's first year. You know, this, you know, the Bears are fired up. There's banging on the lockers. There's hooting and hollering. And we go upstairs and we go, boy, they might have a chance here against the Eagles. And they lost 54-11. Oh, geez. And then came home for what might, you might remember is the Chris Connie game, to lose the playoff berth. So, that is my, best memory from, going to the Lincoln Financial Field.
The Bears have lost six in a row to the Eagles. The last time that they beat them was 2011, and the quarterbacks in that game were Jay Cutler and Michael Vick. Both podcasters now, I believe.
With very different opinions on the world, if I'm not.
Oh, not, yeah, not the same podcast. No, yeah. Not the same podcast.
I'm trying to see if there's anything we're missing here, Jason. There's, you know.
What game would you be looking for a flight to if you were a Bears fan? You're looking at this schedule.
Vegas.
You're gonna go to one. Yeah. Okay.
Now I think Las Vegas.
Now let me poke a couple holes in that. People from Chicago regularly go to Vegas. Vegas is one of the places where you will most find Chicagoans. Mm-hmm. Vegas, Phoenix, LA, and Tampa, probably Nashville. But also, it's Vegas in late September. It's gonna be pretty hot there, I think.
Yeah, it is.
So give me something else. Give me something other than that.
I mean, Minnesota is always an answer because I just think it's the best stadium I've ever seen. If we want to get a little bit creative here, I'd go to Baltimore and I'd stay in D.C. It's about a 20-minute-ish drive, 25-minute drive. You can take a train, too. I haven't spent a ton of time in Baltimore, but boy, Jason, you and I agree that Washington, D.C. is one of the great stops. And, you know, with them playing a night game against the Commanders, that's going to be hard to go and kind of put in the full day of sightseeing. But if you could do it all day Saturday and then go to an afternoon game Sunday in Baltimore and then fly out. I know there's a Southwest flight or two going into Midway. I guess that would be my suggestion. What would yours be?
Baltimore's a really good one, and I think that I would agree with pretty much everything you said. The Baltimore one would be better if it was in September, and you were able to work in a trip to Camden Yards.
Yep.
Because that's, to me, the second best baseball stadium I've ever been to. That one is phenomenal. The only one I'd rank ahead of that would be San Francisco. Only the Giants have a better one than that.
Did you say Wrigley Field?
That's pretty far down on my list. Going to Cincinnati is not a bad one. It's not a great stadium, but Cincinnati could be decent at that time. And Cincinnati is a nice city in the fall. Like, it's got, you know, all the bridges and everything. That's not a bad place to go. I think I would probably pitch them on the week 17 49ers game. Let's just assume that that's going to hold at the time that it is. It's December 28th. Mm-hmm. So your kids are on winter break, Christmas break at that time. It could be a really good game. The weather's going to be nice out there that time of year. I would say week 17 49ers would be my pick to recommend to a Bears fan for traveling.
Yeah, that's a good one. And also, you're still in that little pocket between Christmas and New Year's where hotels are cheaper than they should be because everybody's going to stay with family. So I think you could get a pretty good deal in the city. You know, I got to warn you that, I mean, the game day experience in San Francisco, I don't think is anything to write home about, and getting to and from is a pain in the butt or a very expensive Uber. But you know what? December in California versus whatever the weather is going to be like here, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, it always looks good on TV when you see those games, those 49ers home games at night, like the Sunday night, Thursday night, whatever 49ers games. You see the sun still up at kickoff. That would be my pick.
And also, it's right next to the Six Flags, so maybe you can
your kids are off. Like, take your kids, go to the Six Flags, as Pat says.
Real quick before we get out, not that anybody really cares about preseason games, but the Bills will be here, the Dolphins will be here, and then the Bears will go to Kansas City. Ben Johnson had said that he wants one or even two different joint practices. So I read that as he is not the kind of coach that's going to really care about what happens in a preseason game. But if Tua here for a day, the Bears did that a couple years ago. Do you think that would be fun?
I'm guessing that'll be about it. Is probably the Dolphins will be here for two practices, three practices. There's really no connection between Ben Johnson or Dennis Allen and the Bills staff, I don't think. And then by the time you get to that last game, you're not doing it going into the last game. So, yeah, I would say most likely it'll be the Dolphins for a few days.
Boy, Josh Allen and the Bills at Halas Hall, that would be a training camp ticket I would want to get if I were a Bears fan.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that would be really good. I mean, last year was tough because they had the Bengals in and Joe Burrow, and that's pretty interesting for people to go see too. But I think the only day it was open to fans, it poured.
It poured, and then it wasn't open to fans because it was pouring.
And yeah.
And then Jason, you and I had the great pleasure of watching one of the uglier things I think I've ever seen in the NFL. Is we saw two Bengals players suffer season-ending injuries on the practice field within 10 minutes of each other. Do you remember that?
Jeez. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
It was quiet. Yeah, it was just, it was really bad. Before we go, any final thoughts, any takeaways? I'm excited. Do you know what I'm excited about? I'm excited that we don't have to talk about what the schedule might be. The best part of schedule day is that we're now 365 days away from the next schedule day. That's my opinion.
My only thing I would add, my friend, is cracking open a PBR and taking a look at this schedule. I'm thinking 14-3 minimum.
Team of mini Ditkas, 142. Yep. Vikings 6.
Let's wrap this up because I got to run to the Jewels.
All right, let's do it, Jason. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. You can follow us all on social media, pick up a newspaper, or go to the Sun-Times website. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.